हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम् हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सोरि पञ्चकोश विवेकः and its anvaya vyatireka method also we saw. What is anvaya vyatireka method? Anvayaha and vyatirekaha. So vyatirekaha implies vyavrittihi, anvayaha implies anuvrittihi. So vyavritti anuvritti nyaya or anuvritti vyavritti nyaya. So vyavrittihi means continuity, continuation of existence. Sorry, anuvrittihi means continuation and vyavrittihi means discontinuity, discontinuation. So what is discontinue, what discontinues and what continues? That's what we see here. So it is in sanvaya vyatireka. When you analyze this, what is which continues? So when you analyze this, what is an individual? The individual is analyzed through this panchakosha viveka. When you analyze the individual, you arrive at, you understand each layer of personality, and all these five layers of personality are nothing but division of the three bodies. So this sthula shariram, sthula dehaha, the gross body is called annamayaha koshaha. And then sukshma shariram is divided into three layers of personality as pranamayaha, manomayaha and vijnanamayaha. And karana shariram is called what now? Anandamayaha koshaha. So these five layers of personality are nothing but three bodies and which are the material products. And of all these three bodies or five layers of personality come under the category of anatma, and when atma is not distant but distinct from all these five layers of personality, and atma is the consciousness. We understand that. But still, what is satyam and what is mithya here? How of these two, what should be taken as? Now we have individual is, which should be taken as the truth of I? Which should be taken as the swarupam of jiva. Jiva swarupam, truth of the individual, a truth of I. What should be taken as the substance of the substantive I? The, each layer of personality or each of these bodies or atma or anatma, which should be taken as the substance of the substantive I? What is intrinsic? What is permanent is intrinsic. What is impermanent is what? No, what discontinues is impermanent. What continues is permanent. Anuvartate, vyavartate. Two verbs in use in Sanskrit language. Vyavartate means that which doesn't continue to, that continue to stay. It's called vyavartate. It stops at some place. No, anuvartate means continues to be there. So what is that which continues to be there is what are non-negatable satyam, and what doesn't continue to be there is what no vyavartate. No, that should be taken as not satyam, not intrinsic, non-intrinsic and intrinsic. For which you use this Anvaya Vyatireka method, and we saw the Anvaya, what is Anvayaha, what is Vyatirekaha. So we start with that. So in the waking state, in Jagrat Avastha, this whole Jagrat Prapanchaha is real. Isn't it real? Then this gross body all is what now? Very much real. Being part of the gross universe, this is also very much real. But this gross universe and this gross universe means what now? Gross body also. Your gross body has to be included as part of the gross universe which you experience. Isn't it? So what happens? The same thing. What seems to be real now, we take it as real because we are experiencing it. And here, this, now there is, you are here as experiencer, and this world also is here now as object of experience. And this world, so this world actually doesn't continue to be there. The sense what? When you analyze the dream, no swapne, this Jagrat Prapanchaha is not there. Sthula Deha also is not there. The Jagrat Shariram, Jagrat Prapanchaha is as good as non-existent for you. It is not there when you are experiencing dream universe. So swapne, this becomes vyavritam. This is vyavritam bhavati. It becomes, it doesn't continue to exist in dream. Then what continues to exist is what? The experiencer I. What anuvartate? Therefore, when you are experiencing the dream universe means the dreamer, the dream universe including your dream body mansions complex when experiencing, then this waking universe and with the, including the waking body, mansions body, including the waking body, is not there, isn't it? Not experienced, which means, so this absence of the, now that when in dream, you have only what, now what is present in dream? The dream universe. And the presence of the dream body, when you explain the dream body, dream world, what is not experience available for experience is the waking universe, isn't it? This is what we understood. What is, we call Anvayaha. Then what continues to be there is Anvayaha. What is not there is Vyatirekaha. So this world is not there, Vyatirekaha. Is it clear now? So the experience of the dream, qualified by the absence of the waking, as it is Anvayaha. This experience is there, isn't it? Similarly, in dream again, the same dream becomes not there, it becomes absent in deep sleep state. Dream also is not there. So dream also becomes what now? Vyavritam. It becomes discontinuous. And then, because there you have only deep sleep state, you have only Karna Shariram. Isn't it? It's a Karna Prapancha. Karna Shariram is there. And the Karanam also goes in the wake of knowledge. In the wake of knowledge, from the standpoint of Atma Chaitanyam, the consciousness, what goes is even the Karna Shariram also is not there. Karna Shariram also becomes resolved. Isn't it? Then Atma alone continues to be there. So what? This is called Anvayaha. This is a final, that we can't go again after that. Anvayaha comes what? How far does the Anvayaha comes? Means you arrive at the Atma, the consciousness. And everything else become what now? Vyavritam. Isn't it? This gross world is not there in dream. Dream world is not there in deep sleep. state and the deep and the karna sharidam also is not there in atma. This is what we saw, no? Anvayaha. This much understood. So what shines, what does not shine, isn't it? What is that which continues to shine in all three states of experience? I mean, even when the three different worlds do not shine, even when the gross universe does not shine, when the subtle universe does not shine, when the causal universe also does not shine, what continues to shine is Atma. That's called what for final Anvaya, isn't it? So, when you arrive at it, that consciousness alone, it what now? Through reasoning, you understand. This will be called, so logically arrive at it, what that consciousness which continues to exist is what Param Brahma. In Atma, that Atma is none other than Param Brahma, the truth of the universe. So do you physically take the Atma away from Anatma? No. You are not physically taking, physically shifting is not possible. It's like when you say the pot space obtaining in pot is none other than the space outside, means you are not really shifting the space, you are not lifting the space from the pot. Cognitively you resolve the pot, cognitively resolve the pot space in total space, isn't it? They are not even two, they never became two. Like this consciousness happens to be one and the same. This consciousness is the Atma, the self, the content of I. And that cognitively you extract the Atma being consciousness cognitively, intellectually from the body, mind and complex. Understand Atma, the consciousness being the truth of the body, mind, the five layers of personality. Isn't it? That's what he said in the 42nd verse. We saw last class. And that Atma does not become Brahman, does not join Brahman, does not become one with Brahman. That Atma is already Brahman itself. You have to, you know, if you say Atma, the Atma cognitively, intellectually shifted from five layers of personality, no, the I sense, resolved in consciousness, which is Atma. That Atma Chaitanyam does not become Brahman, does not become one with Brahman, does not join Brahman, but that is already Brahman. This much we saw last class. Now we have to start from the 43rd verse. New lesson starts.
Paraparatmanorevam.
Yuktya sambhavitaikata. Tattvamasyadi vakyaihi. Sabhagatyagena lakshyate. Sa bhagatyagena lakshyate.
Okay. Now he says, para atmanoho. There is paratma and aparatma. Paratma, aparatma means what? Are there two atmas? No. Individual is a mixture of, combination of both Atma and Anatma, the spirit and matter. So, which is the spirit, the Para-Atma, the matter, the Apara-Atma, isn't it? The superior self and the inferior self, or you can say exalted self and the inferior self. So, para atma, apara atma. Of these two, the individual who is a mixture of combination of this matter and spirit, atma and anatma, the para atma is atma, apara atma is anatma. Okay, of these two, now, yuktya sambhavita ekata. Okay, yuktya sambhavita. Now what happens? This evam yuktya sambhavita ekata tattvamasyadi vakyehi. Now he says that now he extended what now using this panchakosha viveka and through anvivetireka method you have shifted intellectually the I sense from all the layers of personality and resolved in consciousness as the Atma, the self of the individual. Isn't it? And that Atma, now, the Atma is identical with Paramatma. Next step. See, how can you identify with Paramatma if you do not know what is to be identified with Paramatma? Should the body be identified, mind be identified, sense organs be identified, what should be identified with the Paramatma of the individual, isn't it? Suppose the wave, name and form should be identified with the, isn't it? Or the water obtaining in the wave and name, the wave and the name and form wave, isn't it? What is it should be identified here? So like the here, what should be identified? Because the individual is the whole, isn't it? There, you shift the I sense, which means you leave behind all of them. The I sense is resolved in consciousness, means now consciousness is what now? Taken to be the intrinsic nature of the individual, a substance of the substantive I, which is called Atma, implied by the term Atma. This Atma, the consciousness obtaining in an individual, as the truth of the individual, as a substance of substantive I, as a surupam of the knower, is identical with Paramatma. So, identical Paramatma. How do you understand it? Through reasoning, yuktya. Through reasoning, you arrive at. It is like, how do you say it is identical Paramatma? Because this consciousness Atma has no birth. Consciousness Atma has no death. Atma has no birth. Atma has no death. Atma has no decay. Atma has no old age. Atma does not come and go. And this Atma, which is of this nature, is Paramatma. No, so yuktya, so para atmanoho, atmanoho, evam, yuktya ekata sambhavita. So here you have to say one more thing here. Para apara atma means what now? Jivatma paramatma. In this context, you have to be very careful here. When you say atma, anatma also is called what now? Para apara atma, isn't it? But here, apara atma means jivatma, para atma means paramatma. So, para apara atmanoho aikyam sambhavita. Para apara atma is equal to jivatma. Paratma is equal to Ishwaraha, paramatma. Now, jivatma and paramatma are identical. So, jivatma is identical with paramatma. That is called what he said here. Ekata sambhavita. We have to be very careful. When I said first, jiva, when the individual itself is a what? Combination of anatma and atma, isn't it? So, there of the atma and anatma, what is the truth of individual? Atma, the consciousness, isn't it? And that, is it clear now? So, we say, Now, the Jivatma, when you say Jivaha, Jivaha means an individual. The individual is what now? The entire personality is individual, isn't it? So, of which you take the Atma, the consciousness part of the individual, and consciousness is what of the truth of the individual. The same consciousness is the truth of the whole, Paramatma, Ishwaraha. We already saw in the very beginning is what? The one and the same Paramatma, Parambrahma Chaitanyam, manifest in the avidya, is gets the name Jiva. The same consciousness manifest in Maya is gets the name Ishwaraha. So there's a difference is only in manifesting media, not in the manifest consciousness. Isn't it? So here what he says is, so para apara atmanoho ekata. So ekata means oneness. Oneness of apara atma, the jivatma, and para atma, paramatma, Ishvara, yuktya sambhavita, has been arrived at through reasoning. Through reasoning or logically arrived at. Sambhavita means, you know, becomes established. The oneness of the Jivaha, truth of the Jivaha, truth of the Paramaha being one and the same Atma. Truth of the Jivaha, truth of the Paramaha, the Adishwaraha being one and the same Atma, the consciousness. He has been arrived at through reasoning. How he says, Tattvam asyadi vakyaihi. So, ekata sambhavita. Oneness has been arrived at. So, logically arriving at the oneness of the truth of the individual and the total is called sambhavana. Sambhavana, sambhavana means nama vadyar sambhavana adu kedaiyadhinga. It's not sambhavana, should not be taken differently. Sambhavana is a noun form. Sambhavita is a participle, isn't it? So what is sambhavana? Sambhavana here is what is arrived at is sambhavana. What is finally arrived at, finally established, now what is finally accepted, made acceptable is what? Sambhavana. So sambhavita is equal to angikarita. Now angikaranam means acceptance. Angikaranam means, you know, acceptance made, you know, the possible, the possibility. So here ekatvam sambhavita, the oneness or oneness has been arrived at, has been established. How? Logically, yuktya. Yuktya is a logically established. Oneness of what? Oneness of the para apara atmanoho, of the atma and paramatma, jivatma and paramatma. The first sentence of the verse only says this much. The oneness of the truth of the individual and the total has been logically established. How? Tattvam asyadi vakyaihi. Through the mahavakyams such as tattvam asi etc. Which means how? Tattvam asi is a mahavakyam. Aham brahma asmi is a mahavakyam. I am atma brahma is a mahavakyam. How do you arrive at this? How do, no, this vakyam? How do you say this vakyam is a mahavakyam which reveals the oneness of the jivatma and paramatma? Which means there is a method. Understand? Method of seeing the meaning of these words. Method of arriving at the meaning of these words. That method of arriving at the word, meaning of the words of the Mahavakyam, thereby to arrive at what is conveyed by the Mahavakyam, isn't it? Is called what now? Is the Bhagatyaga Lakshana. Bhagatyaga Lakshana is a method of arriving, in a method of analyzing the meaning of the words of the Mahavakyam. Arriving at the Mahavakyam. So, Bhagatyaga Lakshana. Okay, so here to understand this, I wanted to learn these two things. So, what is Bhagatyaga Lakshana? Why do we need to know what Bhagatyaga Lakshana? The method of understanding the meaning of words of the Mahavakyam. Isn't it? It's called Bhagatyaga Lakshana. The method is given a name. And why do you need to know that method? Only through that method, if you understand the method of arriving at the meanings of the Mahavakyam, meanings of the words of Mahavakyam, then you will know actually what is conveyed by the Mahavakyam. That's why it's called one Lakshanam, we say. Bhagatyaga Lakshana. So what is Bhagatyaga Lakshana? Unless I know this method of arriving at the meaning of words of Mahavakyams, I cannot understand what is conveyed by the Mahavakyams. If I simply read that thou art, if I simply read the English sentence, what do you understand? I the self am consciousness. When I say these things, they really do not convey, isn't it? They need to be understood. And to arrive at the fact revealed by the Mahavakyams, we need to understand the meaning of Mahavakyams. And to arrive at the meaning of Mahavakyams, you need a method. That method is called Bhagatyaga Lakshana. So, what is Bhagatyaga Lakshana? We'll see that. When you see an object, okay, that object as a total object. When you say there is a plant, here is a plant. When you say here is a plant, it's a total object, is called what? Plant here. In this word plant, it includes all the aspects, the leaf aspect, stem aspect, stalk aspect, the root aspect, flower aspect, isn't it? There's so many factors constitute one object called plant. So all these different aspects which constitute the one in total object called plant. It is called. So when I say plant, please look at this plant. When I say, what do I mean? I don't mean only the leaf, I don't mean the stalk, I don't mean the root, I don't mean the stem, I don't mean the flower, I mean the entire plant. I exclude only what? The pot, where it stands, isn't it? So here, when I say look at this plant, I mean the entire plant. All the parts gets included in that one word plant. This is called what now? Mukhyartha. An object, a total object. If I say plant, the word plant is, plant is a word indicating, the Mukhyartha of the word plant is, Mukhyartha of the plant here is, the total object, isn't it? Called plant. Look at this plant. When I say here now, this plant is getting dry, but you see the leaves are also green. I mean only the flowers. Flower aspect. Even though I use the whole word, the plant is getting dry, I do not mean the whole plant, isn't it? You see, only the leaves are so green, only the flower is dry. Only one aspect is called what now? It is called the mukhyartha, called vachyartha. Mukhyartha or vachyartha. Now, when I say it is getting dry, the flowers alone get dry. One aspect of the plant I mean, it is called lakshyartha. One word plant, in one sentence, one sense it means the total object. In one, otherwise it only mean the limited, one aspect of the object. I'll give a better example here. When I say there are lots of fruits, you can take these fruits home. Take these fruits home, when you say, or I say there are mangoes, take these mangoes home. What do you mean? I when I say mango fruit, take these mango fruits home, I mean the skin. Fruit means what? Skin, the flesh, the pulp part, the flesh, the seed, all the three, isn't it? The skin, flesh and the seed, all the three together, all of them are meant by one word fruit, isn't it? When I say eat the fruit, eat this fruit, I use the same word fruit. The first meaning is what? Take these fruits home. In that sentence, the word fruit indicates what? Mukhyartha or vachyartha. Isn't it? When I say eat the fruit, please eat this fruit, cut and eat this fruit, when I say, oh, you don't need to hesitate. My God, Swamiji asking me to eat the fruit. How can I bite it? This seed is so hard, I can't eat it. You don't have any doubt about it. Do you have any doubt? When I say eat the fruit, how quickly your buddhi works. When I say take the fruits, you say, okay, well and good, you don't cut and take only the fruit and leave the seeds here and go. You take the whole fruit. When I say eat the fruit, I need not tell you, please don't eat the seed. I don't tell you that. You know which part to eat, isn't it? And which part you, in the sentence, eat the fruit, the word fruit implies what? Only the flesh part of the fruit. The skin gets filtered, okay, removed. And also the seed gets removed. The certain aspects get removed. Is it? In one word, same a word, use the same word. Eat the fruit, take the fruits home. The word fruit, first word fruit, now indicates what? Mukhyartha. Mukhyartha or primary meaning or vachyartha, the literal meaning. When I say eat the fruit, immediately your buddhi works. How quickly it filters. Definitely you understand that I expect you to eat only the flesh. There is no communication gap, isn't it? Which means the person who listens, the person who listens, the cooperation with the communication is so important, isn't it? They eat the fruit, there the meaning of the word fruit is only the one aspect of the fruit called flesh. Isn't it? This second meaning, a second word is what? Lakshyartha. Or is it lakshyartha? So mukhyartha or vachyartha. Second is lakshyartha. You can say intended meaning, conveyed meaning, implied meaning. is called Lakshyartha. Similarly, here also, how the one word fruit, no, has two meanings. Implied meaning in a sentence, eat the fruit, and the primary meaning in the sentence, take the fruits home. Similarly, these words, tattvam asi also, the word tvam has, what now, two meanings. We can also say it, mukhya vrittihi. Mukhya vrittihi and bhaga vrittihi. You can say, lakshyartha, okay, like that you can say, mukhya vrittihi, bhaga vrittihi. See, the primary meaning is also called what? Mukhya arthaha is mukhya vrittihi. What is there? Mukhya vritti means the whole, like that when you say the fruit, the skin, the seed, the flesh, all the three, there is a skin is involved there, skin vartate, skin is, flesh is, the seed is, isn't it? It's called a mukhya vrittihi. And bhaga vrittihi means what now? Bhaga vrittihi means the flesh alone is taken as bhaga vritti. Which means not what is retained is flesh is taken. At the same time, bhaga vritti means skin is another bhaga. One bhaga is left. Which bhaga is left? Skin part is left aside. Seed part is left aside. And what is left behind? What is taken? What is removed? What is thrown? What is retained? What is given up? One bhaga is given up. One bhaga is taken. The seed bhaga, skin bhagaha, they are given up. The flesh bhagaha is taken. It's called taking one aspect, leaving aside another aspect. It's called what? Bhaga tyaga. Which bhaga is taken? Bhaga tyaga means the fruit bhaga is retained. In the sentence, eat this fruit, when you say, in that meaning of the word fruit, the flesh bhaga is retained and then skin bhaga, seed bhaga are given up. It's called bhaga tyagaha. Tyagaha means giving up. Half, is it bhagaha? One certain part, aspects are given up, certain aspect is retained. It's called bhaga tyaga. Got it now? What is mukhya vrittihi? What is bhaga vrittihi? Okay. Similarly here also, when you say in tattvamasi mahavakyam, the word tvam stands for what now? Individual. The whole individual, atma with, now I can say three bodies or five layers of personality. Sharira trayam or pancha koshaha plus atma, the consciousness, all of them together constitute what? The individual is the mukhya arthaha, mukhya vrittihi of the word tvam. So primary meaning of the word tvam is the total individual who is a mixture of atma and anatma, atma and five layers of personality or three bodies you can call. This is mukhya artha. Now mukhya artha of jivatma, now you know what is jivatma. So tvam means, tvam is equal to jivatma. Jivatma is atma anatma mixture. Here. This is the mukhya artha. Similarly, paramatma. So paramatma we have. What is the mukhya artha of paramatma? Paramatma also has many aspects. Many aspects, isn't it? So we already seen what is paramatma. Consciousness plus Maya is Paramatma. Ishwaraha. It is not without Maya, you can't say Paramatma, you can't say even, you can't say Ishwara. So Jivatma, Paramatma is Ishwaraha. Jivatma is Jivaha. So consciousness plus Maya is equal to Ishwaraha. And here Atma plus consciousness plus three bodies equal to individual. Or Maya you can also say what now? You can also say Suksha Prapancha, Nasa Sthula Prapancha. You can say that. This is a total meaning. The primary meanings of these words. When you say the Asipada is an equates Jiva with Paramatma. Jivatma is equated to Paramatma. That Jivatma being equal, Jivatma being non-different, Jivatma being identical is implied by the word Asi. Isn't it? Asi. Asi Padam. So now here, so what should be taken? If you say Jivatma is Paramatma, it's like saying wave is ocean means, definitely there is difference, isn't it? Difference is there. So which aspect should you take? The name and form plus water is equal to wave. Name and form ocean plus water is equal to ocean. The total, listen, mukhyartha. So which should be left, which should be taken? For understand, arriving at the identity, which aspect should be taken? So bhaga, there's a bhaga tyagaha. There is the one aspect is given up. Which aspect is given up there? So here the pancha koshas have to be given up. Or three bodies are given up. Tyaga. Consciousness aspect alone is taken. Similarly, so Paramatma also what we do? The Maya, Jagat aspect leave. Sthula Prapancha, Suksha Prapancha, and also you can say Maya also give up. Take only the consciousness aspect. Isn't it? So taking the Lakshyartha, not the... You are taking only one aspect. Paramatma means the consciousness with the Sthula, Sukshma, Karana, Prapanchaha. No? All, the whole is Paramatma. There also you leave the universe. You leave the Sthula Prapancha, you leave the Karana Prapancha, you leave the Suksha Prapancha, you take Maya, you take only consciousness. And here you leave the Avidya, Karana Shariram, you leave the Suksha Shariram, Sthula Shariram, take only consciousness. This from the standpoint of consciousness, Jivaha status is to be dropped. Paramaha status also has to be dropped. Drop both statuses, take only consciousness, and then you understand there's only Atma. This is called Bhaga Tyaga Lakshana. So he says that oneness is to be arrived at through reasoning, he said in the 43rd verse.
Para paratmano revam yuktya sambhavitaikata tatvamasyadi vakyaihi sa bhagatyagena lakshyate.
Okay. So here, so in this, the in Jiva and Ishvara, what is the two aspects which are not identical, those aspects are given up, deleted. And the similar aspects are taken. So the consciousness aspect of Jiva, consciousness aspect of the Paramatma, Ishvara, are taken here. And then the body-mind-sense complex of the individual and the you know, the Maya, now so that aspect, material aspect of Ishvara are given up here, isn't it? So because there's a difference is there, isn't it? Small and big difference is there. Ishvara Shariram is the whole Jagat and Jeeva Shariram is just the small body. Therefore, what is the difference is from the standpoint of the material aspects. The spiritual aspect, there is non-difference. So the non-different spiritual aspect alone is retained. The different material difference in material aspects. Therefore, material aspects which have difference, they are given up. Which bhaga is tyagaha? Which bhagasya tyagaha? Which bhagasya svikaraha? One aspect is taken, other aspect is given up. The tyaga means here given up, isn't it? Then deleted here, given up. So, what he wants to say? Viruddha amsha parityagaha. Viruddha amsha parityagaha means what? The aspects which are non-different. The aspects which are different. The aspect which are non-different is what? Non-different aspect of Jiva and Ishvara is consciousness, Chaitanyam aspect. And the different aspects of Jiva and Ishvara is Avidya and Maya. Isn't it? Karna Shriram, and that you give up. Then you arrive at the oneness. So this is how through Bhagatyaga Lakshana, you arrive at the oneness of the Jiva, oneness of the Jiva Ishvara Swarupam. Okay. Now he is going to say next.
Jagato yadupadanam.
Maya
madaya
tamasim.
Nimittam shuddha sattvam tam. Uchyate brahma tadgira.
Okay. See, jagataha yadu upadanam. Upadanam means material. Upadanam. Upa-adanam. The supportive cause. Upa-adadati. Upadanam. Or material cause. It's called upadanam. So, jagataha upadanam, that which is the material cause of this universe. Just as now, clay is the part upadanam. Gold is the ornament upadanam. Wood is the furniture upadanam. Like that, what is that which is upadanam of this jagat? Jagat means, very easy to understand, ornament upadanam, gold, pot upadanam, clay, the ocean upadanam, water, furniture upadanam, wood. It is easy to arrive at the upadanam of these aspects. But you have to think of the universe. That's why we always use this expression, incomprehensibly, inexplicably vast universe. Elements, elementals, living, non-living, mobile, immobile beings, all the actions, the law and order, all the results, experiences, all this together is what? Jagat. Isn't it? Everything comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes is Jagat. Again, interesting thing, isn't it? It's all material, it's all within the realm of matter only. Amazing. He's elaborating now. He's elaborating on these things now. Beautifully, he's going to elaborate. Can you believe all these movements, actions, functions, experiences? Experiences also within the realm of the matter only. There's no experience on the part of Atma, the consciousness. Consciousness by itself has no experience. You know that? Consciousness has no experience. Consciousness has no beginning, no end, no birth, no death, no change, no movement. Consciousness has no form, no parts, no limbs. No time. Consciousness has no time. Consciousness has no, isn't it? Space. Consciousness has nothing. Consciousness, just consciousness. But there is, we talk about what? There is birth, there is death, there's something happening in birth, death, change, old age, you know, end, then experiences, parts, limbs, movements, actions, functions, results, experiences, all sorts of experiences, pains, pleasures, all different experiences. All these are there, isn't it? Which has, so matter by itself also cannot have inert. The inert matter also, there can't be just experience on the part of the matter by itself. Is it clear? That's why we say, what this, without consciousness, nothing is possible. It is typically like, that's why we are going to see in the same Panchadashi, we are going to see his Vidyarani Swami's presentation of this the whole program happening on the stage. You watch the whole movie on a screen. You watch the movie on a screen. And you see the heroes coming, the heroine going, you see the people, the supporting people, opposing people, and all sorts of emotions. Sometimes there's a crying, there's a weeping, and some laughter, and some romance, and then some singing and dancing. You see the whole thing, some tragedy and some comedy, everything is mixed up, the whole movie is going, everything is going. But what is that one thing without which the whole show, the movie, isn't it? But that screen wherein the whole thing is happening, the whole movie is moving, isn't it? And the screen does not draw our attention, is not at all attractive. Our minds are totally held by the story, the movements, the emotions. That is why when the heroine cries, we cry. When the hero laughs, we laugh. And we, the good people who are upset, then we get upset, we get angry. We also side the good person in the movie. We also oppose the wrong person in the movie. We are not non-judgmental, no? We don't see as a witness, no? It's all movie. We don't see that. We also join. We join the heroine who is righteous. We also, like that, we become one with the whole show, which means we completely forget the something called screen, isn't it? Non-attractive, non-drawing, non-impressive, non-interesting screen is hardly paid any attention to, isn't it? The whole movie holds. Now, Swamiji always teases, isn't it? The movie moves you, isn't it? Movie, not only movie, it moves you also. Chalachitram, it's called Chalachitram in Sanskrit. The movie is Chalachitram because it keeps moving. The movie keeps moving, the frames keep moving, isn't it? Not only Swayam Chalati, no, Drashtru Naam Manaha Api Chalayati. It also moves the minds of people who watch. Moves me what? It completely takes their mind, isn't it? Chalachitram Swayam Chalati Drashtrunam Manamsi Chalayati. It moves the minds of, in causative verb, minds of people who, the viewers, no? The people who view the movies. Similarly here, what happens in the non-drawing screen is the truth, isn't it? One thing which is unmoving. The screen also moves, what will happen? Screen cannot move. it needs to be stable, firm, substratum, isn't it? Wherein the whole show happens. But you know very well, the screen is not touched, asangaha, tainted by the actor's behavior, actress's behavior, or other people's behavior. Or suppose you see huge flame there, some shooting there, there's no hole, nothing happens on the part of the, even though you see so many shootings, so many killings, bloodshed, you know, the smoke, the flame, the fire, everything you see on the movie, but what happens to the screen? So frightening. The movie is so, whole movie is so frightening. We watch the whole movie. Even we come back, even for, it will take, sometimes some movies now will last very long. More than a month it will last. The fear will be there. Sometimes, really. So many killings, the bloodshed means, as a child I never used to go and watch movies because I can't. If you see people shooting each other, no? I get scared. So I can't even see bloodshed. No, it affects. I can't sleep for many days. I'm not scared, but I'm saying it's natural, isn't it? It moves, it disturbs. Now, what I want to say, but what happens to the screen, that is more important. The fire you see in the movie does not burn the screen. The bullets which flow here and there, they do not really make the screen, maybe cause any holes. The screen, isn't it? Which means the screen is completely untouched, untainted by all the scenes which are moving on it. Isn't it interesting? In the same way, here also, what he wants to say, this Param Brahma Chaitanyam, Brahma. Brahma is the word. By that word Brahman alone, what now? The reality, the consciousness is implied. The reality, the consciousness, implied by the word Brahman. Tad gira. No? Brahma uchyate. That consciousness is not touched, tainted by all these problems of the body, mind, sense complex. Untouched. Atma the Chaitanyam, just as screen is untainted, untouched by, you know, the whole movie, all that's happening on the movie, in the movie. Similarly, the Atma, the consciousness also is not touched, tainted by the limitations and problems of the body, mind, sense complex. So here, that is true, that's the nature. So Bhagatyaga Lakshana means, how are we going to, we use different words, isn't it? Here also, even though five layers of personality you say, in our own day-to-day conversation, we use these different expressions. When I say, I put on lot of weight, I put on lot of weight means, no, I feel too heavy, I am fat, etc. When I say, no, when I say, I am going to India, that is a mukhyartha. I am going to India means there I is equal to mukhyartha. I don't send only my mind, I don't send my sense organs, I don't send my just consciousness alone. Consciousness need not be sent, isn't it? It's all pervasive. When I say I am going to India, I mean what? I mean the whole individual. There I is a whole individual. But I am fat when I say, you definitely, you don't include the whole individual, you don't include my mind there. Mind is not fat. You don't include my sense organs. When I say I am fat, you understand very exactly what I mean by I. There only one aspect you take. It's called Bhagatyaga. When I say I'm going to India, you take the primary meaning of the word I, the individual. Isn't it? When I say I'm fat, you take only, you yourself delete mentally the mind, pranas, sense organs, etc. You take only what? Only the body. So when I say I can't see well, then immediately what do you, it's only Bhagatyaga. Only Bhaga is taken, Bhaga is left. Left, rest of the aspects are left here. Only I see. Means you understand, I mean my identity is only with the I. Are you all hearing? When you say yes, we are hearing, when you mean what now? I only take your hearing, identity is with the hearing. Isn't it? Only one aspect. In our conversations also, always we mean it. I'm really upset. I'm really sad. I'm really very pleased. Whenever you use expressions, you don't include body there. There's a tyaga, body, there's a deha tyaga, there's an indriya tyaga, there's only mind is taken. Mandalon is manasaha grahanam, dehasya tyagaha. What is taken, what is retained, what is given up. In every sentence you say that. I'm very hungry, when you say there, you don't say my foot is hungry, my legs are hungry, my feet are hungry, don't say that. You definitely understand, I'm hungry means, you mean only one prana. One aspect it is called Bhagatyaga. Retaining a given aspect and giving up the rest of the aspects is called Bhagatyaga. So here also, when you say the Jivatma Paramatma Aikya means, you leave the non-different aspects of Jiva and Ishvara. You leave the different aspects of Jiva and Ishvara. You retain only the non-different aspect of Jiva and Ishvara and take the Atma, the consciousness. And that consciousness which is non-different, which is one and the same, with reference to the truth of the Jiva and Ishvara, is what now? As I said now, non-tainted. Untainted, asanga atma, like the screen, isn't it? Just as the screen is untainted, so Brahma tad gira uchyate. Okay. And this Brahman alone, he says here, this Brahma, this consciousness is what actually associated with the Maya. See, the author is repeating here, look at this. Jagataha yadu upadanam mayam adaya. Okay, so what he says, mayam upadanam adaya. See, maya here, he means it's a matter, okay? The same, one and the same consciousness, Brahma, gets the Ishvara status. Ishvara means what here? Being both the causes of the universe. Efficient cause and the material cause of the universe. The material cause of the universe is Ishvara. The efficient cause of the universe is Ishvara. How the Brahman, both the causes are Ishvara, and the Ishvara, that's because the status comes to Brahman consciousness. How he says, the tamasi maya, tamasi prakritihi maya, and he say satshu vishuddha sattva pradana prakritihi. We had to use these two, okay? See, tamasi here means inferior. Rajapradana prakriti, he uses a different term here, isn't it? So using maya, the same consciousness becomes what now? The material cause. You through avidya, the same conscious become the material cause of the universe. Which means the upadanam and nimittam. So we understand only these two today from here. Okay, we will not go to this verse today. Understand only these two. This Brahman alone gets the Ishvara status, which means the consciousness by itself, as I told yesterday in the class, has no status. Consciousness has no status or whatsoever. Status free is reality Brahman. Ishvaraha, the Lord, status of being the Lord, Ishwaratvam, comes to Brahman, the consciousness, only because of its association with Maya. Only because of its manifestation in Maya. A matter, in fact. So here, how do you say it's karanam? Without the matter, consciousness by itself cannot become the universe. But matter without consciousness also cannot become the universe. Therefore, it is the matter which alone becomes the universe. It's like clay alone becomes the pot. The pot maker does not become the pot, isn't it? What becomes the pot is the clay. Clay alone becomes the pot. But clay cannot become the pot by itself. It needs the touch of a conscious being, an intelligent person. And for the clay to become the pot, it needs what now? Intelligence and skill. So creation presupposes prior knowledge and skill. Skill very important. Prior knowledge and skill. Without the skill, even if suppose somebody, I'm here, I know somebody comes and gives me a ball of clay, I can only play with it. How to convert it into a pot? Suppose somebody gives me, you need extra, all the sahakari sadhanani, wheel they bring. They give me all the instruments we need to make the pot. They give me the clay also. I take the clay and put it on the wheel and I try to move the wheel. Nothing is shaped as a pot. But the pot maker who has that knack, the skill, the knowledge of how to put the clay, how to hold the clay, and how as the wheel moves and how to get it as a pot, he has knowledge and skill. Is it? That knowledge and skill, no skill, no knowledge is outside of consciousness. Is it clear now? That manifestation has to manifest. So for the knowledge and skill to manifest, what is there in the form of pure consciousness? For the knowledge and skill, the source of knowledge and skill is what? Consciousness alone. For it to manifest, it needs the manifesting medium. So if there is no clay at all, however clever, intelligent, skillful the pot maker is, how will his knowledge and skill get expressed? It will be in his mind, isn't it? So unmanifest, unexpressed, unrevealed, unexhibited, isn't it? Exhibited skill, non-exhibited skill and knowledge will be what is as good as non-existent. Isn't it? Exhibited skill alone becomes existent. What is not exhibited remains as good as non-existent. Therefore, it is the clay which helps. The clay's contribution is helping the pot maker's skill and knowledge to become expressed, clay is supportive. So clay is the, is it? That's what it's called upadanam. Clay is the upadanam, the material, wherein the pot maker's expressing medium, the pot maker's skill and knowledge can be expressed only through a clay. Without the clay, his skill will be unexhibited, isn't it? Unrevealed. Similarly, here also, what he says is, without this prakriti, the Brahma Shakti, without the prakriti, the knowledge which is, on the part of consciousness, the knowledge are two different things. The manifestation of knowledge and skill, isn't it, which is not outside of consciousness, for that to be expressed, isn't it? Only then the expressed knowledge alone becomes recognized knowledge, recognizable knowledge. If the pot maker is sitting in his house, very intelligent, very skillful, very great, but he is not able to get any clay anywhere, he is sitting at home, who will know his skill and talents, knowledge? When he really gets the clay and makes it and he sells it, only when the different types of earthen vases are sold, then his skill and knowledge also becomes recognized. Oh my God, that man is really, isn't it? Recognition of the skill and knowledge needs expression. Expression or recognition is dependent on expression. Sometimes people may be intelligent, but they're not recognized. Why? Because the skill not expressed. Recognition is dependent on expression or origin skill. So unexpressed, unrevealed skill and knowledge will be non-recognized. Non-recognized will be as good as non-existent. Therefore, what is that which makes Ishvara, what it makes Brahman recognized? The pure consciousness, recognizability of consciousness is dependent on its manifestation. The manifestation is dependent on Maya, the matter. There is, understand, it's a mutual dependence. But still, who is more dependent is Maya, matter. Matter is dependent even for its very existence, whereas consciousness is dependent on matter only for manifestation. Is it clear? Something. So here, what we say, the matter, but can you separately see the skill without the matter? No. And the matter also, only for it to have a shape, it draws the attention only when it gets shape. You say, if a ball of clay is lying on the road, who will just walk on the ball, isn't it? Thing is, just a clay. But when you see a beautiful pot, it draws your attention, isn't it? So shaped matter becomes attractive. That is why in sleep, nothing is. You don't, let me go and buy that, let me go and buy this. Do you say in sleep? You don't say anything. Why? Because the two reasons. You don't see the world there in sleep. Though there's no IKEA in your sleep. Therefore, there's no, the desire to buy something is not possible. So the effort to buy something, moving around also is not possible. Why? Because nothing is there. Nothing draws attention. Not only that, you yourself are not there in sleep for you to get up and go. Isn't it? Both are neither. The one who wants to buy also is not there. The things to be bought also are not there. But what I'm saying, similarly here, this needs shaping. So it means, is there a material cause other than Ishvara? Can we say two different things? No, matter is the material cause. Consciousness is the efficient cause, is consciousness. Can we say then two different causes? Two different causes, but still, we both the causes together alone get Ishvara status. Understand? Consciousness by itself without the matter cannot have Ishvara status. When you get the Ishvara status, what then you say what now? Consciousness having the Ishvara status becomes what? Both efficient and material cause of the universe. It's like the unmarried man has to become owner of the house. The house is owned by the girl. What should he do? He marries the girl, becomes her husband, then becomes the owner of her and her house. Understand? By marrying her, he becomes what now? Possessor of the girl as well as possessor of the girl's house. Similarly, see Brahman, now with Maya Shakti, what now? Becomes what now? As a possessor of Maya Shakti, becomes what? Maya's form also is what? Brahman's only. The whole Jagat, is it? So Brahman not only gets the Ishvara status, and Maya is the material cause, and Maya being the power of Brahman, Ishvara becomes what? The material cause of the universe also. Even though you say material cause of the universe is Maya, but Maya happens to be inseparable power of Brahman, the consciousness. You say Brahman as Ishvara becomes both material and efficient causes of the universe. As Ishvara. Is it clear? Why? Because you have to understand, they're inseparable. Why do we say Ishvara is efficient and material causes are one and same Ishvara? Why do you say that? Because Brahman and its power Maya are inseparable. We don't see them as two different independent realities. They're inseparable. And Swamiji used to give this example always. When you see this wooden table, you see this table, even though you do not see the carpenter, you don't see the carpenter here, but definitely you know there is a creator, maker of this table. He must have existed before, isn't it? And now, actually speaking, in the very table, what you see is the wood, isn't it? The wood is very much there, which is the material cause. And what is inseparable from the name and form table is the skill and the knowledge of the carpenter. Can you separate it? Isn't it exhibited here? See, you don't need to see physically the person. You don't need to see the manifest knowledge you can see. The expressed skill you see. You have never see the unexpressed skill. If there's a piece of wood in the house, a piece of wood in your house will not be expressing medium, isn't it? Will not serve as an expressing medium. Seeing the piece of wood, you cannot recognize the skill and knowledge of the carpenter. Why? It is not expressed there. But you see a table, or a cupboard, any wooden furniture beautifully made. I think day before yesterday was the man's, that man of furniture, or Adiji. He some the Google Ananda was presenting something. In the Google, they every day some special dates. There's somebody known for a furniture.
I don't
know. Some, it begins the name C, the letter C. Anyway, doesn't matter. He's the father of furniture. So some, he is known for his the manufacture.
Chippendale.
Like that, no? So what I say, my buddhi went there. Now what I, Chippendale, yeah. Now what I want to say here, the furniture which is there, even though the material cost is very much there, what is inseparable from the product creation is the expressed knowledge and skill, isn't it? So the creation is the, creation is the expressing medium, isn't it? Where you see, you can recognize the expressed knowledge and skill of the carpenter. Similarly, the whole jagat, now it is the height, beautiful thing you have to arrive at here. When you see the whole jagat, when you see the pot, how can you, along with the clay, what you see is inseparably see the skill and knowledge of, expressed skill and knowledge of the pot maker. When you see the furniture, along with the wood, the furniture, what you cannot miss is the expressed skill and knowledge of the carpenter. When you see the ornament, along with the gold, the material cost, what you cannot miss is the skill and knowledge of the goldsmith. Isn't it? When you see this whole jagat, what you cannot miss is, the whole jagat is manifest, the modification of Maya. Maya modified is, that is why I say Prakriti hi is Maya. The Prakriti modified is what? Vikriti hi. Modification, matter modified is the universe. Clay modified is pot, gold modified is ornament, wood modified is furniture, Prakriti modified is jagat, and in this modified Prakriti, what you cannot miss is the manifestation of skill and knowledge. You need subtler intellect to appreciate this fact. Can you miss Ishvara now? How do you know that there is knowledge and skill? What an amount of skill. What an amount of knowledge. Isn't it? In everything I see the skill. I see the knowledge. Every product. Everything here. Take a living thing, take a living being. In every living being you can see how skill is expressed, how knowledge is manifest, isn't it? So manifest knowledge, manifest skill is what? Expressed skill is known as recognizable. You understand now? You can only see Ishvara as what now? In the form of skill and knowledge, the manifest skill and knowledge are nothing but manifestation of consciousness, which is Ishvara Swarupam, and Maya is the Shaktihi. Brahma Shaktihi is Maya. And Brahma, Ishvara Swarup is Brahma. Ishvara Shakti is what? Brahma Shakti. Therefore, just as the furniture and the carpenter skill and knowledge are inseparable, ornament, the gold and the goldsmith's knowledge and skill are inseparable. Similarly here, the material cause and the efficient cause of the universe also are inseparable. That is why Umayoru Bhagatan. That is why we say, no, Vama Bhagastha. Devi is portrayed as the one who stands with Bhagavan as the Vama Bhagastha. No, Ardhanarishvara. Because inseparability of the material and the efficient cause. In this verse only deals with the, okay, I have to go into the verse, which I will do next class. But today I want to present this. The Ishvara's concept has become very clear. See, when you talk, when you consciousness separately, Brahman, you never call Brahman as Jagat Karanam. When you bring in Maya, and the consciousness manifested, associated with Shakti alone is what? We call it Ishvara. Ishvara's status has to be there. Ishvara's status itself because of the status of being the cause. The status of being the Lord is due to the status of being the cause of the universe. And which cause? Material cause as well as the efficient cause of the universe is Ishvara. Only Lord obtaining as two inseparable causes of the universe. Inseparable. Simple example, remember, always it is enough, isn't it? Table example is good enough. I see the table there, I see the wood here, I see this, the carpenter skill there, you cannot say. Where you see the table, there itself, not an inch away from the table, where exactly the table is, there alone you see the wood. In fact, the whole table is wood alone. You see only wood in the form of the table. But along with the wood, what is inseparably seen all over the table? Only one side you see the carpenter skill. Which side of the table do you see the carpenter skill? Which side of the table you see the knowledge of carpenter? The whole table. The whole table where you cannot remove the mat. No, let me not have matter in this area. You can't say that. The wood has to pervade the entire furniture called table. And where pervaded by the wood and the whole wherever the material, the wood pervades the whole table. What is inseparably there is the knowledge and skill of the carpenter. You see more, maybe, oh my God, look at this side. Look at this carving. Look at this side, how nice it is. Look at this. You get excited. You see more and more, you get excited. Isn't it? More exciting is the skill and expression of skill. Expressed skill and knowledge is more exciting. Is it clear? But you want to search for the person. Oh my God, who is that carpenter really? Whose knowledge is expressed here? Like that, if you search for what is that knowledge, amazing knowledge and a skill, you know, it is expression of whose touch? Whose touch? You don't ask touch here. Mere presence is Brahman, the consciousness. Understand? Is the touch there? Here, effortless existence, mere existence. That is why we don't need to go in search of Ishvara anywhere. Every tree you see, every insect you see, every stone you see, every small thing you see, isn't it? The man-made as well as God-made. Man-made is also God-made only, really speaking, isn't it? Everything you see, there is expression of skill and knowledge. Inseparable skill and knowledge. దట్ ఈస్ నిమిత్త కారణం. ఇట్స్ కాల్డ్ వాట్? నిమిత్త కారణం. ఉపాదాన కారణం ఈజ్ మెటీరియల్ కాజ్, నిమిత్త కారణం ఈజ్ ఇంటెలిజెంట్ కాజ్. హ్యావ్ యూ గాట్ ఇట్? దిస్ ఈశ్వర అకింది భాగత్యాగ లక్షణ. ఐ లెఫ్ట్ ఇట్ ఫర్ నెక్స్ట్ వీక్. ఐ ఇంట్రడ్యూస్డ్ టుడే, ఐ యూస్డ్ ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద బికాస్ దట్ పర్టిక్యులర్ వర్డ్ కేమ్, ఐ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ దట్ మచ్. బట్ వీఆర్ యాక్చువల్లీ గోయింగ్ ఇన్ టు ది టీచింగ్ లేటర్ ఆన్. బిఫోర్ వి గెట్ ఇన్ దేర్, హీ ది ఫస్ట్ వర్స్ హీ టాక్స్ అబౌట్ ఈశ్వర. See how one Brahman alone has the Ishvara status, and the same Ishvara how becomes both the causes. Brahman consciousness with the power expressed is what? Powerful. Understand? The powerful is Ishvara, and the Ishvara as the powerful is said to be what? Now both the causes. Material cause of the universe is Ishvara. Efficient cause of the universe is Ishvara. You see, the whole universe you see is the modification of Shakti, and the owner of the Shakti is formless. In every form you see the manifestation of formless knowledge and skill. Skill has no form, knowledge has no form. In every form, what you inseparably see is the invisible, unobjectifiable, you know, the skill and knowledge of unobjectifiable, invisible, imperceptible consciousness, which is Ishvara Swarupam. Ishvara Swarupam is manifest in the form of knowledge and skill. Ishvara Shakti is manifest in the form of matter. Something beautiful to know, isn't it? It's not a new lesson, but still. Because if you search, if you want to objectify consciousness, then you will fail. Arrive at consciousness as the Jiva Swarupam and see that consciousness being manifest as knowledge and skill in every objectifiable form. You can only, every form becomes, is what now, manifesting medium of Ishvara. Ishvara is the intelligence cause or the efficient cause. Through the mirror you can only see the reflected eyes. There's no way of seeing the original eyes. You can only see the reflection of the eyes in a mirror. But the reflection of the eyes also is seen by what? The same eyes. In the same way, what is that you, the whole jagat is like what? Manifesting medium. Every form is manifesting medium. In every form, what you see is what? Manifest knowledge and skill. That skill which is manifest, the knowledge which is manifest, is manifestation of pure knowledge, consciousness. Understand? Therefore, now you can say, the whole jagat is manifestation of Ishvaraha. Manifested appearance of Ishvara in the form of the knowledge, skill and form. Here to go from one table to the whole universe. one tree to all the living beings. Isn't it beautiful? Okay, so we just understood the Ishvara because he touches the Ishvara topic. So instead of going into the verse, I want to finish it separately, then we can go textually. We have not yet touched the text because he introduces the Ishvara there. He just touches Ishvara. I want to finish it separately. I think it's clear, isn't it?
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.